views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show. Brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Just want to thank you all for chiming in and being a part of today's show. We have a live show for you today. Today is April the 12th of 2018. It is a Thursday. We have a live show for you at any time. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call. The number is 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. And we'll see you in the queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. We'd love to hear from you all at any time. So we're going to get going in today's show. But before we do that, everyone, please continue to support. Make a donation to Black Talk Radio Network so this network can stay on air. It's very easy. You could go to the website for this network, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Make a contribution there, a donation there, excuse me. And that way, Black Talk Radio Network will be able to facilitate all of its financial obligations and needs in order to stay on air and to continue to bring you the programs that have been brought to you that are extremely valuable, in my opinion. So make a donation there. You could also support the network by becoming a member in its social media outlet. And once again, we talked about this a while ago and how, you know, the other platforms were the worst thing for you. Now you're starting to really kind of see it from when the system is using that to their benefit. And I'm going to tell you what I think that is all going to be about in a minute. So come on over to BTR Community where you're in a membership. You don't have to worry about that as much. You don't have to worry about someone data mining you and everything else, and then you definitely don't have to worry about this your information being sold to any bidder. Scotty is not that type of person. Don't do that here. It's not who he is, but that is definitely who the celebrity figurehead of Facebook, FedBook, is Zuckerberg. They sold your identity in that whole to everybody's every member inside of that platform. Identity was actually sold. It was definitely algorized, sorted, and then put into position. So for their overall systematic good. So check out our platform of BTR Community, and you can get into BTR Community for only $24 a year. A year. So, very, very, very important. My man Roz. Love my man Roz. So, definitely want to do that, okay? Also, If you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to Prosperity Mint. There were some individuals that had actually contacted Prosperity Mint. They will get to you first thing tomorrow. It was really, really busy. So we'll get to you tomorrow. For those of you that listen to the radio, I just wanted to pass that message to you. And for those of you that are interested in acquiring, exchanging your currency for real money, now's the time to do it. You know, in our promo, it said in the promo, it says that a country's wealth is determined by how much gold it has, not how many dollars it's accumulated. That is so true. And I would tell you, your overall prosperity is determined by how much real money, gold and silver, that you have, not the pieces of paper, okay, in so many different ways. So you definitely, and prosperity is something that you can pass on, okay? Your energy of your labor can be passed on to future generations, and this is not something that gets taught to us in the schools, because the schools teach us to be the perfect slaves. That's why they are institutionalized, and they are fully funded, and they are everywhere. That is their purpose, and this is the truth. So definitely engage in that. All right, so we got a lot here in the what's in the news. My man Raj posted a lot of stuff. Thomas posted a lot of stuff. And so just there's a lot of stuff there, and I definitely want you all to become a member so you can see some of this stuff. Very, very important that you do. So we're going to jump into what's in the news and want to, let me just, I got to get back to the home page. It was like 31, pretty, a lot of good stuff in here. So let me get back to the beginning, and I know how to do that real quick. Just click this, and we'll get, Roz posted a lot of good stuff in there from Survivalist Alpedia. Definitely want to do that. I mean, and check out some of that stuff that's there, and become proficient in some of that, those things. And the main thing, and I just want to say this, you know, FedBook, and I was talking about FedBook. One of the reasons why I think FedBook, all this is coming out now, is because there's going to be a lot of cyber attacks that's going on, and they're going to say that it was because of, it's going to be traced back that some of this was used during FedBook, and FedBook was compromised, and this is the whole thing. So this is the overall plausible deniability platform that's being laid out for when they spring their trap. So that's why all of these things are converging. This is why you're seeing this converging on the mainstream media now, because they're conditioning you to think what, and to repeat and to act on what they are subliminally telling, through their subliminal messages, what they're telling you to do. And they want you to always to obey, because they tell you what to think. And telling you what to think is obedience. It's, that's what it is, because you act on what you think. We respond to what we think. We obey what we think. So just wanted to give you that heads up. Beware, because there is definitely a plot that's going on. So definitely want you all to be engaged in that. Okay? All right, so we're going to jump into today. Today's show is going to be picking a firearm for protection. I guess my man, thanks, Scotty. Handguns and rifles. We're going to be going over some things for there. And thanks, Scotty, for my man. We take care of each other. So my man put in rifles. Yes, we're going to be looking at rifles as well, and handguns. Just you know, some things, introduction for many of you, and you're thinking about it. If you are, if you don't mind calling in about some of your thoughts and opinions, would love to do that. I mean, would love to share that with you. I've had an extensive background in firearms, but I don't know everything. But I'm quite confident in what I do know, and I love learning more about the different firearms in today's world. Man, it's so much stuff that's available and so much stuff that's out. But I want to get to some of the basic stuff, and I would definitely say for those of you that have the ability to go purchase a firearm, that you've been thinking about purchasing a firearm, you should be doing that today, especially if you're in a state where you can purchase it, go through your background check, and take it home. Go do that today. Go do it tonight. You can even do it while you're listening to Tando Radio Show if you haven't done that. So that's today's show. But let's get into some of the things that what's in the news. Let me just click on one second. Click on some of the articles that are here. And Roz picked out, put in six survival rifles and also 10 best survival guns to own when civilization collapsed. And some of these are just good to have. And I would say society has already collapsed, even though we may think that it hasn't. It really, really has. It's completely dysfunctional. But before we get into that, let me just say this and I'll get into what's in the news. Hopefully this whole thing with Syria can actually be delayed. The longer it's delayed, the better. That gives you opportunity to prepare more and more. And I'm really hoping that this does not go, because I don't want this to actually happen. But I know that this paradigm is very it's a part of life. It's the truth of life in a lot of places. And so this is, you know, customary for many, 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 many people. And this is, in my opinion, is definitely a part of the system. But I definitely don't want this to kick off in the way that it is possibly could shape up to be, because this depopulation program is so unnecessary. And I will, it's really something that we need to get a full grasp of and think from a sovereign standpoint. And from the benevolent side of our existence and our capabilities, that needs to be the actual instrument of our decisions, in my opinion, else we continue to go on these paths. There won't be, everyone will not participate in that. Everyone's character, everyone's purpose, everyone's desires, everyone's will is different. But I think that those of us that have a benevolent will and desire, we need to invoke more action that can be noticed, critiqued, and also developed for the rest of the world. Because of the things that we would be doing, the rest of the world will take notice. And maybe there can be some momentum that we could build in that direction, because the momentum to destroy and to be to have a dominant, a subversive dominion over everything on this planet, that momentum has gone and it's huge, and it continues to move and have relevance because of how many people give energy to it. And there needs to be a counter energy to that, and hopefully that's something that we will all start to see the overall necessity for and move in that direction. And we could do it, and we should be doing that first among ourselves and our relationships with each other and our relationships with people that we know and people that we don't know, and our in relationships with ourselves. Very, very important. So hopefully I really don't want this military confrontation to start, because once it's turned on, ladies and gentlemen, it's darn near virtually impossible to shut it off until it gets to where those that have been trying to put this together for years, until it gets to where that overall destination is. And I don't know where it is. I don't want this stuff to happen. I'm not ready for this. You're not ready for this. We're not ready for this. Us individually, us as families, and us in the community. We're not ready for this at all. And I think the best way to get ready for this is to prevent this from ever happening. We do not exercise our energy in the correct and proper way. In a correct and proper way that's beneficial to our species, to our members, our family members that we have yet not named, and to ourselves. There really is a self-mutilation purpose in direction that we have. And I really would love for this to end. I'm ending it for myself as much as I possibly can, because that is my desire, meaning I will do it, and to have that cross-pollinate to those that would choose to take that same path. And just because you're talking about firearms and everything else, that does not mean that you're not on that benevolent path. I don't think that that's the truth. Some would counter and everything else. That's very, very true. That's fine. But I want to say some of the reasons why I have a firearm and why I'm going to have a show today about firearms is because this. There are many wild dogs among us. Many. And when a animal is overtaken in a demonic rabies state, the culture of violence that we have in this country is completely mental, is because of the mental illness within our culture. And we never really look at that. This culture of violence that we have is only going to continue to destroy. It is never going to build. How can you get someone to stop killing someone when you're going to go and through military actions try to kill them? It doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. But we don't see it that way. And that's the real problem, because we've been conditioned and trained to be told what to think. We have an absence of mind. Our minds are completely absent of our true given, great creator given talents and ability. It's now not even talents that we display. What we really display is our addiction to being controlled. And that needs to be completely broken. So just wanted to say, for those of you, if this thing jumps off, hopefully it will be delayed. I was glad it didn't happen yesterday. I don't know what the state is right now, or could have started tonight, because it's evening in that portion of the world, in Syria, where it's going to jump off. And the U.S. is definitely going to make, if they do it, is going to be military intervention during the evening. But then it will go into the morning. It will definitely go into the morning as well. So hopefully it's not done. All right, so jump into what's in the news. But if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. First article, Thomas posted this one from Thomas from NYC, New York. The latest, France to decide on Syria strike within days. Check out that article. Next article, Thomas posted from Express.co, Saudi Arabia missiles sends oil prices soaring to three-year high as supply fears rise. And this is really important. If this thing does jump off, I don't know if you've been noticing how gas has been going up over this week. You can, as soon as the first missiles are fired, gas is going to jump up immediately. How high? I have no clue. As soon as there's any formal military confrontation that is emitted between Russia and the U.S., you can see gas prices up to $10 a gallon, $15 a gallon, $20 a gallon. Very easy, very likely, very plausible. Okay? That is one of the immediate effects that we could see. And I guess also there was a bunch of outages of 50% of Verizon customers throughout the country didn't have internet, phone, or services today. So all of that stuff is a part of this whole thing, or possibly could be. I don't think it's a coincidence. It could be, but I doubt that it is. And I know this, if this thing does kick off, that is one of the tools that is going to be used. Just think about it. Just think about it. Let's say you were an adversary of the U.S. How would you, and you know that you're already going to be going to war with the U.S., where you're going to be in military confrontation with them, and the U.S. military has more capabilities than you have. How are you going to weaken the U.S.? Very easy. Extremely easy. Punch where they've never been able to block. You strike at their Achilles heel. You know what the U.S.'s Achilles heel is? Is within the borders of the United States. Any form of destabilization that is put will always be bountifully successful here. It won't be foiled. It won't be stopped. It won't be altered. It will be bountifully successful. And from the infrastructure, the people, the quality of life and standard of living, whenever you go to war against a first world country or a superpower, it's the easiest, you know, that's set up the way that the U.S. is, they're really, really easy to defeat. You strike the homeland. You strike back in the States. They may never, ever, ever recover. And that is going to be really on the table. I think if this thing does jump off in a magnified way. So, just wanted to say that. Next article. Thomas posted, Britain's May calls cabinet meeting as the UK and the US edge closer to Syria strike. Next article, Thomas posted this one from Live Science, and I've always said this, there is no such thing as global warming. How can you have global warming when you have more water on the planet than you do land? It's the oceans are the barometer of the whole planet and the environment which was there. So Thomas has a good article. What if the ocean climate controlling conveyor belt came to a halt? Check out that article. Next article, Rise posted this one from the anti-media. U.S. deploying large warship fleet to the coast of Syria. The USS Harry Truman Carrier Strike Group is being deployed to the Mediterranean yesterday, Wednesday, where it will join the USS Donald Cook off the Syrian territorial waters. Okay? And these that's an Aegis guided missile cruiser is what the Donald Cook was. Is the Donald Cook is the same vessel that in 2014 a Russian plane with cellular weapons totally disabled the whole ship and made bombing runs on the ship, and the ship could not do anything. The U.S. is one of the U.S. most advanced cruise missile guided missile cruisers. The Donald Trump was put dead in the water, and it was in the Black Sea. And a lot of the officers resigned, and the crew was scared to death. Imagine an old plane doing bombing runs on you, and you can't track it or anything else, meaning you can't stop it. You can't have target acquisition to defend yourself, and this is one of the most advanced systems. A part of the Aegis cruise missile vessels that the U.S. has. So hopefully that wasn't a prelude as to what was going to be happening in the future. Check out that article. Let me pick out some articles real quick because I definitely want to get into today's show. But let me see. But there's a lot of great articles inside of BTR community. Nigel Farrell posted this one from RT International. Nigel Farrell breaks with friend for life, Donald Trump, over military intervention in Syria. Nigel Farrell has turned his back on the celebrity figurehead U.S. President Donald Trump, as the former UKIP chief cautioned Britain against intervening alongside the U.S. in Syria. In an unprecedented break with the Republican leader, Nigel said he would not want the UK to join forces with the US against the Syrian celebrity figurehead President Bashar Assad. Check out that article. All right. So great articles that were put there. In another article, I posted this one from CNBC, US considering 8 possible targets in Syria. Trump says decision coming fairly soon. So hopefully, to save face, the US, if they do decide to strike, that they just hit some just to save face, say that they did something, and nothing really came of it. Hopefully they'll just target some desolate places out in the desert and just let their little bombs go boom, have cerebrally naive network lying like a fox there and all of that, saying that the U.S. did something in Syria and it doesn't amount to anything, and then they could win and Russia didn't respond and everything else. And hopefully that would be the case if they're going to do that. So check out that article. All right. Let me get into...
Hey, Brother Day.
My man, Jerry, what's going on? What say you, Jerry?
I'm still learning, man. I just wanted to add, you said something that I thought was very important. You said this was one of the most technological advanced ships that the U.S. has. It's not. It's a current ship that the U.S. has, but the U.S. has a lot of old ships that has not been decommissioned, and when this technology fails, that's what they fall back to. A lot of people wonder why some of these new planes and ships don't work. It's because these digitized ships, planes, and other equipment don't work. It's because it's not tried. It's not tried. It's not true.
Right.
It's a lot of the other countries buy a lot of U.S.'s old ships because they're all analog and they're steam propelled,
right,
which means that if anything digital fails, they can still maneuver through the waters, still navigate. All of these things happen. The digital age did not replace the analog age because it was better. It's like you always say, And I was speaking to a few gentlemen the other night about different things that I have made known to a few other people who listen to our network. And one of those things is that the old technology is the best technology. And what I mean is that you can still go find an analog TV, plug it up to your put some rabbit ears on it, and it'll still work. Now, these are 30, 40-year-old TVs. You can find a 10-year-old digital TV, and it will not work because the updates have not been released for those because they discontinued it. So that's the reason why when you see people talking about these, and excuse me, I'm sitting outside in my yard. I'm supposed to be cutting grass, but what you said made me stop.
No, you good. You good.
When you're dealing with this stuff, all of the rest of the countries recognize this stuff. I mean, it goes back to guerrilla warfare. When you see people, we got all of this this technology, heat seeking missiles, thermal technology, and what have you. You know, simple things cover that up, and we all learned this.
New smart missiles, Jerry. New smart missiles. Go ahead.
Yeah, you are correct. But to go along with that, it's everyday everyday things such as water and dirt, mud. And we all learned this from watching Rambo. You know, just watching Rambo when we was children, you see that they put mud over the body. What that does is that it has the heat signature from your body, which makes the heat-seeking missiles or the thermal technology or the smart guns, what have you, they neutralized because you can't see anything. We've also seen this in, like, the Predator versus Alien movies that some of us watch. But in here in the last 10 years, we have been finding Russia, places, not Syria, but it's a country alongside of Syria. A lot of them have been buying a lot of those old warships that we had because of this same thing. Why everybody is going to this digital warfare, they're still using the analog, which has no, you can't disrupt that because it's going off of the magnetic energy of the earth. It has nothing to do with any frequency. It's just the magnetic energy of the earth.
Right.
Now, I've sailed those seas before, and I've seen a few ships that we had to leave behind because of the digital technology was had jumped off course or what have you, and they had to stop. And you know who would go get them? The 50, 60-year-old frigates would have to
right.
go
the,
and
the analog
them.
Ones. Right.
And right, and pull them and tug both them along through the ocean. So
right.
when we see these things, it's several things that we could do, but you know, it's all about who wants to listen and what they think they know versus what they have experienced. That's basically what it is, and I'm sure that you and Brother Scotty could attest to what I'm saying right now.
Oh, heck,
and I'm
yeah,
sure
100%.
You're going to have some more that I want to speak to, but I'm going to shut my mouth and put myself on pause. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, yeah. What Jerry's saying is absolutely right. The fallacy of some of the technology, hold on one second. The fallacy of some of the technology is that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And one of the things that why a lot of countries like buying weapons from Russia because it's just like the AK-47 is durable, it can withstand, you know, everything, and that would be one of the things in our weapons things as to what to have. It's not high speed, low drag. It is just durable as anything. You drive a truck over it and everything else, and it still works. So very, very true. And the actually the USS Donald Cook uses the Aegis guided missile system, which is supposed to be the advanced system that the U.S. has. And as Jerry said, it doesn't work all the time, and especially but it's extremely vulnerable to countermeasures that the Russians have already proven that they can totally disable. The doggone ship was daggone cut off, and it was dead in the water. It had to be towed back to port, as Jerry just said. And that happened in 2013, 2014, when that happened. So yeah, that stuff, and it's good for the newest iPhone and all that other stuff and technology. Say you got all of this, but how practical is it? You know, when you start dealing with a unsterilized combat theater, everything can and will go wrong. And then trying to get things fixed, you sometimes just got to leave it. You sometimes just got to leave it. And you're going to go back to what really works. There's another example of that was during the Falkland Wars between Britain and Argentina over the Falklands. Now, the Argentinian army had PTR-91s, and the British soldiers came on with all of their new advanced weaponry, and they end up during the fighting, they end up ditching their weapons and taking the PTR-91s, and they were called something else, from the Argentinian soldiers that they had killed and using them because they were effective down because it was extremely wet, it was extremely cold in that environment. Those weapons never jammed while theirs was. The only reason why that they was able to overcome Argentina because they just had more. They had more resources. So, yes, that is definitely a part of what has happened in the past and continues to this day. Okay, so let me real quick, let me get back on to what's in the news. So we're going to jump into today's show. Let me just see if there's a couple of other things. Raj posted a lot of good stuff there. And want to talk about firearms. But it was something else. Real quick, what was it, Dave, before you move on? What was it, kid? I don't know. I don't remember. Let me see. I'm talking to myself, y'all. So, once again, the Russian ambassador tried to get the United Nations and the U.S. to get off of this war direction because of the ramifications of that could be quite telling. So, okay, so we're going to get into today's show. We're going to talk about some firearms, some things that you should have for home protection and just to have for protection. And want to do that. And if any of you would like to jump in on the conversation, give us a call. Number is 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And let me see. If I look in the room, I don't see – oh, wait, let me check. Check to see 1 second. Oops. Okay, cool. We're good to go. All right. So for those of you that are at home, try to keep up on what's going on. If something major happens, let me know, please, because I won't be able – I won't know, and I would like to know. All right. So let's talk about the table of preparedness and talk about protection. Now, protection is not just firearms, but I think – now's it, you know, time for us to really talk about that. And like I said, if you're in a state and you haven't purchased a firearm and you can go purchase a firearm and take that thing home right away today after your background check, which is really a background check, it only takes really three or four minutes, really. They know right away. You could take that firearm home, then do it right now. But one of the things with firearms, before we do that, make sure you have all of the necessary cleaning and oiling, the proper lubrication for the firearms, okay, for your firearm, because it's, you know, a firearm that doesn't work is nothing more than a glorified hammer, and when you may not need a hammer, you may need something more than a hammer, a better tool. So you always want to make sure that you get the right accessories and things to take care of your firearm. Make sure that you know how to disassemble your firearm and how to properly clean your firearm and to keep it in good working condition. Okay? For those of you that were in the military, you know how important that was. This is one of the reasons why the AK-47 was such an effective weapon on the battlefield, because it requires very little maintenance. Very little maintenance, while other weapon systems require a ton of maintenance. And there's so many things that could go wrong. And it could go wrong at the most unopportune time when your life is depending on it. Okay? So we'll get into that. So make sure you get the proper cleaning gear, proper lubrication. Okay? And I want to just tell you also, make sure you get the proper ammunition for your firearm. One, if you get the wrong ammunition for your firearm, it could be deadly for you. If you get the wrong ammunition and you fire the wrong ammunition, you have the chance for that overall barrel in that firearm to explode. And because the pressures are so great, you know, some may allow you to chamber it. It may not, or it may chamber wrong, but if you don't want to have that problem. So you have to really know what you're doing when it comes to this, not just buying a gun and think everything is so cool. Just, you know, and no, it's a lot to firearms that you need to know. How the proper maintenance of them and caring of them and storing of them is very, 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 very important. Okay. Also, if you're going to have a firearm in your house, this is my policy. Make sure everybody that is in that house knows how to effectively use it, not just you. and know its full capabilities. And what I mean by that is full capabilities is this. A firearm is a tool that can protect your life by neutralizing someone else's. And it doesn't care, who is in this line of fire. If it is fired, it is just going to go through its regular nomenclature. It doesn't have a brain. It's a tool. Doesn't have an intention. It's a tool. So make sure everyone in that home has a safe and full understanding, a healthy respect and understanding of that firearm. Okay? And make sure that you store it correctly. And what I mean by store correctly, some people will say you need to keep your firearms under lock and key and all this stuff. That's up to them. That's completely up to them on that. But I would just say, don't try to – I wouldn't say it's not advisable to have a firearm and not instruct your children on what that is and what that capabilities of them are, because then their curiosity may kill the cat or more, may kill them, may kill you, or kill someone else. Have a healthy respect for the tool that you have so that you will not, it's better to respect it than for it to show that you should have respect it and have the proper respect for it, because it is definitely an effective tool. It is very an effective tool. All right, so make sure you get the proper cleaning. Make sure you understand, and before... I'm going to just say this real quick. I was watching a YouTube video. One of my friends said, hey, check out this YouTube video, Dave. And so he handed me his phone and his YouTube, and I see right away it was three people in a car. And this one young lady, they had a Glock in between the two. Her, she was in the driver's side. Another person was in the passenger. Another person was in the back. Person in the back put the Glock down in front of the camera so that everybody could talk in front of the camera and everything else. How stupid. Then they posted on Facebook. How moronic. So they put the gun down on the rest between the two individuals. And the young lady picks the gun up and she's talking, and the guy next to her grabs her and is like, yo, this is a gun, put it down, so he puts her, have her put it down and everything else. What's the first thing that she does is she does what every person that is unaware and is not properly educated on what a firearm can do and its lethality. So first thing she does is she holds it and puts a finger in the trigger. If you ever see anybody do that, get away from that person as quickly as possible, because they've been watching too much TV and they don't know what it is that they have. So she's doing this video. He kind of taps her hand and says, hey, get your finger off the trigger. Don't touch it. It's not a toy. And it's loaded. So she keeps playing with it, and boom. Shoots the young man next to her in the head, killing him instantly, all on video. This is what happened when it's not a firearm isn't something that you should be afraid of. A firearm, if you're going to have it, should be something that you know how to effectively use it. And if you don't, I would definitely say get trained before you pick it up, before you buy it. And what you could do, if you're not properly trained and you know some people that do have firearms and you don't, buy them ammunition, get with them, have them teach you, if they make sure they know what they're doing, proper firearm etiquettes and safety tactics. Because my whole thing is that, why would you, for one, don't hang with people that carry guns that don't know how to effectively use them. Everything can go wrong. It's a ticking time bomb, and one day it's going to explode, because people's curiosity, people, because they haven't been properly trained, they've been watching too much TV. That's what actually trained them on what a gun is. And that's very, very deadly. Extremely deadly. So, all right, so I want to go over a couple of my man, Roz. Let me just, Roz has 10 guns that you want to own. And so there was another one in here. I think it has something to do with rifles. I want to pull that one up as well. We could go over some of those things because a rifle and a handgun is two different tools. And I want to go over with you some of the things that you should be thinking about if when it comes to firearm protection, okay? And I'll pull this up in a second. I'll find the other one because there are maybe some good things that are there, and we'll go over those. Okay, I'll find it. All right, so let's go over some of the firearms things that you may have. Now, there's handguns. There's all different types of firearms. There's pistols, revolvers. Those would be in your handguns. They're semi-automatic. There's revolvers, which are one shot per. They have, well, what it is it doesn't have a magazine that holds multiple rounds, and so there's different ways. And a revolver, usually the most that I've seen on a revolver holding was 7 rounds. Some ones that they have now have 7 rounds, and a pistol, or commonly referred to as a semi-automatic weapon, has a magazine, okay, which in a magazine holds the overall bullets. And a bullet is made up of two properties, three properties, really. The casing, the propellant, or the black powder, and the projectile, okay? The bullet, and this is what's known as a round. The bullet is actually the projectile. And a projectile is once it's out of the casing, out of, so either by taking it out or by it being fired out. Now you have a projectile, a bullet, okay? So a whole round is not, a bullet is not anything but the casing and everything else. It's a round. It's the whole compartment of things, all right? So now, some of the things you want to look at. There it is. Thank you, Ross. Some of the things you want to look at when it comes to firearm safety, and you want to use it for the purpose. There's many different purposes for firearms, for protection, for hunting is the main the two main reasons is for either for protecting or hunting. Okay, and you can use a hunting rifle as a protective measure too, but it's not always as effective in different scenarios. So when it comes to firearms, one of the things that you want to, there's three things you want to think about. There's short distance, that's where your handguns would come into play. Medium distance, that would be something like your shotgun or a larger handgun projectile. And then there's your rifles. Your rifles are able to shoot, 100 yards, 200 yards, 300, 500 yards away. Those are long range. That you're able to go a long distance. And in firearms protection, those are the three distances that you need to be thinking about when it comes to protection. And here's how that works. If you live in the city, not saying that you wouldn't want to have a rifle, but in a city, you're probably going to, what's going to be effective in a city, this is where your handgun comes into place, because it's medium range, short range to medium range, okay? Your shotgun. For me as a person, a lot of people like having a shotgun as a home protector. I don't like a shotgun as a home protector, okay? And the reason being is because a shotgun, if not properly deployed, it causes a lot of different problems because of, depending on the overall shot that you're using, or for the bullet that you're using, the shotgun shell, the shell that you're using, it can spread. Your overall lethal pattern of that shotgun is not directed. It can spread, okay? And also, in times of now, in times where someone happened to break into your house, You want to protect yourself at all, you know, at all costs. You know, everything's out the window, whatever you have to do. But one of the bad things about hold on one second. One of the bad things about a shotgun, God forbid, if you ever had to use it in your home, inside of your home, and God forbid, in your kitchen, the overall blood splatter that you're going to have in that house, you're basically going to have to renovate your whole kitchen over, because the blood droppings are going to be everywhere, and that stuff you just don't get out, you know. But the thing about a shotgun is that when you if you would learn how to properly use a shotgun, it won't be a problem. But a shotgun in itself, what you could find is that it has a good opportunity to be a very lethal, effective weapon in protecting. But a shotgun, I think, is better for just outside of your home, not inside of your home, because so many different things can go wrong. Inside of your home, me, personal preference for me, I would actually prefer a powerful handgun, because that round is directed. If you know how to shoot, you know where it's basically going. And the likelihood of it, you know, penetrating the walls. But some of the shotgun shells, they won't penetrate the walls. But if you use a slug inside of your house as a shotgun, especially if you're a hunter and you forget to take your slugs out and everything else, man, that round is going to – that's where you can hit your children, hit people that you don't want to hit, because it's going to go right through, especially these thin walls of that we have in today's home. That slug is going to just keep going, and that is nothing but an ounce of lead that's being propelled, and it's not going to stop until it hits something hard enough to stop its overall momentum. So a lot of different things you want to think about when it comes to shotgun. For me personally, I think a powerful handgun is effective in the home, because it's directed. It gives you a lot of maneuverability. Maneuverability is very, very critical. And also, for some of for those of you that have wives, a shotgun is probably something that's difficult if your wife isn't trained in order to handle, even for light loads, because the overall kick on it is, you know, can be strong, and it will deter them from wanting to practice to get good at it. Because all of these, everything with firearms is that you have to learn to be proficient. It's just like free throw shooting. In order for you to be a good free throw shooter, you can't just shoot, you know, when you need it. You know, so that's very, very important. So we're going to talk about some of those things. But I think that was Jenna that said, Brother Dave. I'm not quite sure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, go ahead, Jenna.
As you know, throughout the past, man, you have had several discussions on guns. I've sent you a few videos and what have you. I love guns, rifles, pistols. I mean, I got slingshots, bow and arrows, crossbows, you know, I like that type of stuff. But shotguns, right. You was mentioning shotguns in the house. And this is not for everybody, but for me, I load my, I don't have no guns, let's just say that. But I have access to guns. And when I do load the shotgun, if I was using it in the house, I stagger my bullets, bird shots, slugs. Express Auto Magnum is the shotgun that I prefer myself. It has very low kick, very, very steady, and it's not a pump action. Once it's discharged, it's ready to be discharged again. Teaching my children, I have.
He's saying it's a semi-automatic shotgun.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I play with semi-automatic, so I mean, I guess by definition, would say that. But one of my favorite semi-automatics would be the SK, and I know that's an old gun, but like you were saying, the AK. This is very reliable, very little maintenance needed, very accurate. But as far as the bird shot, like you said, if you have somebody in your house that that doesn't know how, that bird shot, the reason I have that as the reason I stagger it and I send that first is because it won't necessarily paralyze the person, but that bird shot will scare them to the point to where you can steady yourself for that slug to make sure that you get rid of your home intruder or whoever you are dealing with at that time. I'm not going to say a distraction, because a bird shot can hurt you if shot in the right way, but it can save you shooting that out before the slug itself. I wanted to throw that out there. If we're going to be talking about guns, though, I'm gonna just mute me so I can raise my hand, because I have a lot.
No, you're good. And hey, Jerry, and I would say this. One of the things, then we're going to go to my man Mel after the break. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. I hear what you're saying about staggering, but one of the things I want you to kind of think about that. Me personally, I wouldn't do that, only because of this. When you get into a firefight, and I've been in firefights, when you get in a firefight, you want to be able to focus on not have to worry about, is this going to be the bird shot, this going to be the slug shot, this going to be this, this going to be that. What you want to do is you want to continue to engage until you neutralize your threat. And so because of that, just think, but everybody's different. Everyone's different. That works well for you, and I would definitely say that you know, may be good for you. But see, the bad thing about a staggered round is that the person may not, the threat may not be appropriate for that round that's there. You know? So, you know, it's a good thing. And what I mean by the round is not appropriate is that someone is threatening and behind them is your children. That slug, you almost can't use it. You almost can't use it because that slug is going to go right through that person and may hit your child. So that's why in the home, I have this policy. In the home where my children and everyone else is closer, I want to have a precision weapon that I have to my disposal so that all of my rounds are threat appropriate as to whatever is going to be there. I can meet that threat with the appropriate tool and not having to say, oh shoot, I got to put this down and then go to something else. Then that's where the overall the position of advantage is completely lost. So it's a lot of scenarios when it comes to you know, but if you're in someone's home that you don't care about and everything else, that's totally different, you know, that's, but you still don't want to hit you know, innocent folks and everything else. That's the thing about one of the things about the shotgun. I never have a shotgun with me without having a sidearm and being able to quickly sling that shotgun and go straight to a handgun if necessary. So that's why myself, I don't think that the shotgun is a appropriate home defense weapon. It really, really isn't. It's outside of your door. It's, you know, on your property close to your home. Or, you know, God forbid, if you had to go in somebody else's home to protect yourself, then maybe then. But even, you know, there is a lot of different scenarios. So just, you know, for me, I wouldn't use that staggered approach because the overall round may not be appropriate for the threat that you need to engage. Someone is threatening you and your children are behind them or very close to them, or they have your children in hand. You can't use a slug. You can't use a slug because a slug is going to go right through and keep going. So, listen, getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll jump to my man Mel. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And today we just happen to be talking about the table of preparedness, and we're going to be talking about firearms, some of the things that you need to be thinking about. I know that a lot of you are firearms very knowledgeable. We even have firearms experts within our overall listening audience. As well, and I appreciate everyone's input. And this is, you know, I'm not saying anything that is the correct way, but I just try to give my opinion from my experience of things in circumstances where I had to you know, deploy firearms and use firearms throughout my whole adult life. So I've been presented with, from the military and from other forms, I've been presented with a lot of scenarios in having to deploy the appropriate firearm as a tool. So when all these things have to happen, I'm going to tell you, whenever you have a firearm, know this, you have a second to decide and a lifetime to ponder. A second to decide and a lifetime to ponder. This is why when you have a firearm, there is more than just buying the firearm, oiling it, put the rounds in it, learning how to shoot it. There's so much more that goes with it. There's so much more responsibility. How would you use this, and what under what circumstances would you use this? Why, and what, you know, what tactics would you be deploying with that? What reason? So much more to a firearm. So much more, because it is a tool that demands respect. And when it is not properly utilized, it's deadly either way. But what happens, it becomes sorrowful for a very, very long time. And that's what we want to minimize. So we're going to go to mail, but hold on real quick. Let me get just this, the intermediate and the short range, intermediate and long range weapons out real quick. So medium range would be your handgun. Short range would be your shotgun, unless it has a slug. Then it could actually be classified as long range. It depends on the shells that you are using, because there's different rounds. You can have a firearm and have different rounds with different capabilities. Very, 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 very important. As long as you get a good firearm, the thing that you always should be focusing on above and beyond the firearm is the rounds. The shells or the rounds or the bullets. They're more important than the overall firearm itself. As long as the firearm is a reliable brand that's true, tested throughout history, then what you want to focus on, most people focus on the actual firearm and they forget the round or the bullet or the projectile, okay? Or the shell. Shotguns use shells. That's more important. That's where your focus should really be, because that is what is going to neutralize your threat. Not the handgun itself. It is the actual capabilities of the rounds, and all of the rounds have so many different capabilities. And I do want to say this. I'm going to put inside of the chat room a good place for you to buy online for your ammunition. They have all of the ammunition that there is, and it has it at a great, great overall price points. It's called AmmoSeek.com. AmmoSeek.com, and you can just put the different defense training type of round, because there are some rounds that you should only be shooting for training. Then you have your defense rounds. Why? You don't want to use your defense rounds on training. You want to train with, you know, an appropriate round that doesn't cost as much, okay? Because shooting can become very, very expensive. To get good at this, you're going to have to shoot. I'm going to just say this. In my overall time with firearms, there are no natural shooters with men. I've never seen a natural shooter in men. I've come across very many natural shooters in women. Be surprised. Because the mentality is totally different.
completely, completely different. Completely. But I've never seen a natural shooter in men because their ego gets in the way. So very, very important. You're going to have to shoot a lot to get good. All right, so your handgun would be your medium range firearm. And what I mean by medium range, from 1 yard to being effectively being able to have a to neutralize someone, you know what that means, of about from 50 from about 50 yards, okay? But really it's probably about 25 yards, depending on the round itself. 25 yards is probably, and that's a medium, and that's pretty far between people. Most conflicts with handguns or with firearms happen within 7 yards of each other. 7 yards. So that's something that you should think about. That doesn't mean that's going to happen to you or anybody else you know, but that's what the majority are. Okay? 7 yards. So, 1 second. Let me. Okay, so handguns is shotgun, which with bird shells or buckshot, is your short range. Okay, that's around about 15 yards. Now, that falls into the space of where most conflicts happen. But one of the things with shotguns is that most people don't like using shotguns because they haven't been taught how to mitigate the overall kick of a shotgun. And so I had a buddy of mine went out shooting out in the desert. He shot the shotgun, bought a real good, nice shotgun. It was a Mossberg shotgun. He bought a really good one. He started shooting it. He handed it to me and said, "You can have it." Because it hurt his shoulder. It was because he didn't know how to put his body into it and everything else. All these things you have to learn how to do. And I've seen, you know, I had partners as a police officer that weighed 110 pounds and were experts with that shotgun because they knew how to lean into it and everything else. I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't mean to laugh, but my buddy, just thinking about that time, it was hilarious. So, all right, so long range. This is where your rifle comes into play. This is where your rifle comes into play. And in cities, yes, you could have a rifle in cities and be able to effectively use them. But especially out in the suburbs or in the country, for those of you that live out in the country, you want to protect your overall property from just your doorstep. You may have to protect it, 200, 300 yards away. Shotgun and handgun ain't going to do it. Okay? I have an overall saying that I use my handgun to get to my rifle. Use my handgun to get to my rifle because your rifle is what is going to give you more capabilities in certain circumstances because it allows for a distance between you and your adversary. That's what you always want. You want distance between you and your adversary as much as possible. All right, so that is the distance with those, and when you start thinking about how are you going to be defending your home or yourself, what ranges are you speaking about? And that will give you some gauge. So we'll get more into this as we go along. We're going to go to my man, Mel, who's been waiting in queue. My man, Mel, what's going on? What say you?
Peace, peace, bro.
Peace, peace, my brother. How you doing? Good to hear your voice.
I'm good, man. Likewise, likewise.
How old mama doing?
Right,
don't be
here,
rushing me.
She being nosy right here.
Yeah, don't be rushing me. I wanted to talk a little more. Don't be rushing me. You got to give me a report,
hi,
man.
Say hi to this brother.
Now y'all see why I love little mama. Hey, sweetheart. My man, man. What's happening, man? Go ahead.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder, but, like you called a glorified paperweight, and I'm like the last caller. I mean, I myself personally don't own any weapons. Any firearms, but I have access
right
to them. So, peace, Brother Jerry. And but the significant, the importance of having ammunition, and if you run out of ammo, then it's just a glorified hammer. So you kind of got into that. But with the shotgun, to me personally, like if I were to own a gun, it would be like, and even my wife, if I'm gone and then my wife, somebody come in my house and they hear that, and they still coming, be prepared to fire that weapon, because that's a big deterrent. Just that noise, that's a universal noise right there. Everybody understands that noise, bro. And with the shotgun, you really don't have to aim. It's not an accuracy thing. You just point it in that right direction and you will get results. So I do agree with the shotgun in the home, man, just for those reasons.
Here, I got you. But one of the things is that, a shotgun, you do have to aim, because you can miss with a shotgun. I've missed, and I've trained plenty of people that didn't know how to shoot shotguns, and they miss all the time. And the target could be right in front of them. Here's why. Because the natural reflex of people is that they know that, oh, shoot, this is going to hurt and it's going to kick and everything else, and they don't follow through. They don't have the proper weighting. They don't stay on target. If you don't stay on target with a firearm, it's tried and true. This is physics. Where your overall barrel is pointing is where that round is going. And, you know, most of the gunfights happen about between 7 yards apart, with both parties missing each other. So a shotgun, that is a misnomer. You definitely have to. And the thing about a shotgun, you have to be even more proficient with accuracy with a shotgun than you do with a handgun, because of the spread pattern. You got to know distance. Okay, from this distance to that distance, this spread pattern is going to be much bigger. Here we're closer, so it's going to be smaller. So a shotgun is tried and true. You have to focus more on the fundamentals of shooting with a shotgun than you do with a handgun. Absolutely, because the thing about a shotgun is that you have 100, or let's say you have a buckshot that has a 8-round buckshot or a 9-round buckshot where it has 9 propellants in it. That's 9 rounds that's coming out. Imagine trying to control 9 children. You let them loose. You shoot them loose into, you know, to go do their thing. They go in all different directions, screaming and hollering and everything else. Same thing with a shotgun round. You got 9 rounds, 9 projectiles that are going in different directions, depending on their load, how well it was loaded, how well it was packed. All of those variables you don't know. So shooting a shotgun, you actually have to have more accuracy. You can't just point and shoot. You can't just point and shoot with a shotgun. You can, but I'm going to tell you this. You can do that, but you may not hit your target. And if you're in, God forbid, you're ever in a firefight with someone that does know how to shoot versus someone that doesn't know how to shoot, guess who likely to come out victorious in that? The one that doesn't know how to shoot is going to be a gun donor. They're going to donate their firearm to the one that knows how. So, you know, a lot of people, that is something that you definitely have to. A shotgun, you actually have to be even more diligent, practice more with, because it requires so much more. You have to be able to handle the kick. You have to be able to handle the muzzle raise. You have to be able to handle the overall reloading it if it's a pump. And if it's a semi-automatic, you have to be able to withstand your balance, because every time you squeeze the trigger, a round is coming out, and then next thing you know, your overall muzzle is raising. Now you're shooting down planes. It's called muzzle rise. You have to be able to mitigate that. When a shotgun, because of how powerful the kick is and how many rounds are being propelled at one time, it requires much more discipline and more diligence, bruh. So with a handgun, and it's something easier, especially for women, a handgun is much easier for women because of their physical stature. It's much easier for them to handle that handgun than a shotgun. Let me tell you, if you learn how to shoot very well, if you ever needed to neutralize someone, you can neutralize them with a 22 or a 45 or a 9mm or the different types of rounds that they have nowadays, which are extremely effective and have very little recoil. Dead is dead. Dead is dead. The key is you don't want that to be you. You want to be able to, if you had to employ that, that you be able to effectively use that. So, yeah. I agree with, you know, you having that as your preferred one, but a shotgun, no, you can't just aim and shoot. I mean, you just can't point and shoot. You're going to miss.
Think you're so smart. Peace.
and that's a little brotherly fight in between me and Mel. He's like, shut up. My man, Mel, stay in contact, man. So let me go. Next one, we got my man Roz in queue. Roz, what say you?
Yo, peace and love. What's up? How you doing?
What's up, brother? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm good. Just tired. It's been a long week and it's crazy, but I'm good. I'm home now, so everything is cool. Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good, bro. Can't complain.
All right. Peace to everybody that called in and everything, the listeners on the line. When you were talking about the kick, you made me think of that that video they had of Tupac at the shooting range, and he had so many freaking guns on that table, but he was busting off one. I'm trying to remember. I think it might have been like a Mac 11 or something, but you could see he was compensating for the kick, and when he got his the sheet that he was busting on, his skill was pretty tight, and that's nice with that.
You know,
when you talk about the kick, a lot of people don't think about kick or really understand that. So I think that
the recoil,
the recoil, exactly. I think that's great. And I remember a couple years back, there was a guy who had shot his own son. Messed up. This was, I forget where it was, but I posted the article, and the guy's son came home, and the father thought he was a burglar, and he shot him, and he died. And you know, like my son and I, we got like catchwords. So if he comes home, because he knows that if I hear something, because he's seen me in action before, so if I hear something that piques my interest as far as that I don't think I'm supposed to hear, he knows I'm coming ready to kill something. So we have catchphrases we use. So if he is coming home at a time where I'm not expecting him or something, he lets me know who he is. So that way, if I don't get that catchphrase, he knows I'm coming. So I think that's something to kind of develop too, just to prepare. You know, tell you and your family, just come up with like a catchphrase, or even if it's a whistle or something that's between everyone in the family and no one outside of the family. So that if you have a weapon in the house and you hear someone come in the house, you know who it is. So you don't accidentally kill somebody that's, you know, family or someone that you didn't mean to, you know, hit with that weapon. Now, also, you made me think of
Hey, Roz, hold on real quick, because let me address that, because you're absolutely right on that. And one of the things is that this is why you always have to be assured of your target. This is why you have to have proper training when it comes to firearms. Just because you have a firearm in your hand doesn't mean that you need to use it. You should be assured of your target before you do anything. And because the dad wasn't trained, I don't know, I wasn't there, you know, it could have been a lot of variables. The son could have caught him, startled him, and he had the gun, and oh shoot. And you got to prepare for all types of those things, and like you said, come up with your own phrase. If your children, if they're at the age of creeping, they're at those creeping ages, make sure that they definitely announce themselves, and don't, man, no, that ain't the place here. Okay, so there's a lot of different things. But with that, one of the things that's very, very important with a firearm is you have to have good tactics.
Yes, sir.
You got to have good tactics. Because if you don't have good tactics, then you get scared. And when you get scared, everybody that's scared is dangerous.
Scared people shoot. Scared people will shoot you. Matter of fact, that's how
I'm... Scared people are always dangerous. Right, Ross. Here's what I mean by that. I don't know the circumstances. Unless the young man or the child walked up on him when he was in bed and everything else and started, that's a tragic thing. But if he had an opportunity to hear and then you see him kind of creeping up in the house or whatever, just because then you still got to verify.
Absolutely.
You still have to, because of this, because this, once you let this nuclear missile go, there's no bringing it back. So tactics is everything else. One of the things, you can use a light or deploy a light and everything else. It depends on who you are. Me, I never use a light. Because my thing is that you use the darkness to your advantage, if you can. Position yourself, what you want to have is cover and concealment. In case they have a firearm, you got cover where if they do have a firearm, hopefully you have something that's hardened between you and them. Okay? That gives you an opportunity to do what? Give you more time to think and evaluate and survey. And then, that's why having a firearms is not just buying a firearm, getting it and everything else, putting it in the safe, and then everything is cool. How about the guy, Rise, that had a gun in the safe, had a firearm, a gun in the safe, and had it locked up? The dudes ran into his house, and guess what? They beat him to the safe. And while he was going to the safe, he's getting nervous, like, oh, shoot, what's the safe? Man, stress is a beast. Yep. Tied him up, killed the family. Then think about, because what they were so worried about was the overall public perception. Do you have a gun? It has to be in a safe and locked up. Well, you lock up your stuff. How many times does a threat come catch you off guard? That's why they're going to try to creep on you. But you have to be able to have the proper disciplines with that.
Hey, Dave, you're going to have like two or three parts to this, man, because this is getting to a whole bunch of different aspects. Just the general area where you live at has a big part to play with this also.
Without a doubt.
You know what I'm saying? Geography. Some people grew up in a city. They see a lot of guns, but they don't know how to use them. You know what I mean? Like for me, for instance, like you said, you wouldn't particularly do the staggered shot, but that's how I was brought up. And it has worked for a lot of the people in my family. It has worked for me. And that's something that I live by. But I understand your point also, just traveling the world and see how other people operate. So this may be something that you're going to have to go over in totality a few different times, because there's so many different aspects to this particular situation. I'm going to put myself on pause. I just wanted to add that real quick. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely, definitely, Jerry. Well said. Hold on, Rise, real quick. I got another caller, then we're going to go to the break and come back. And then I want to look at some of the firearms that you have posted. And the most important thing above firearms is get a reliable firearm, but the overall round is the most important. And some of the rounds that they have in today's world, for the ladies, they can have a firearm that has very little recoil but has a very, very good with a lethal punch, okay? Very, and if you learn how to shoot and you learn how to shoot correctly, then you really don't have to worry about that. And then there's different forms of shooting as well. You know, shooting at a target and then shooting to defend your life is two different stress completely. So all of this is a play with firearms, and this is about firearms and how to introduction and how to properly use them in the most effective, safe way. So We got a caller out of ATL. Welcome, caller out of ATL. You're on with Tando Radio Show. What is your name and what is your question or comment?
Hey, Dave, this is Rob in Atlanta. How everybody doing, man?
What up, Big Rob? How you feeling, brother?
Hey, pretty good, pretty good. I'm two quick questions. Can you briefly, because I'm acquiring a Bear Creek AR, and it's saying that the 223 and the 556 is compatible. I mean, you can put the same round in there, and, of course, the 556 will leave a donut hole. You know what I'm saying? Versus a smaller hole or whatnot. But that, and I've heard different stories about it. I wanted to get your professional opinion on it about it being
definitely
interchangeable without doing any modifications to the firearm.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. And then call me too, Rob, so we could talk off air as well on that. All right. Okay, cool. What Rob was asking is, and then we're going to go to the break, and we're going to come back to you, Rob, real quick. What Rob was asking was about the 223 and the 556, their compatibility and everything else. Okay, so the 223 is a basically a glorified 22 AR round, okay? And it's the same thing as a 5.56. The 5.56 is a NATO round, meaning that is what NATO troops can carry. The pressures on a 5.56 are more than a 2.23, meaning this, Rob. You can shoot a 2.23 through a 5.56 barrel without any problems. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to shoot a 5.56 round through a 223 barrel. The 223 barrel has only been tempered and created to be able to withstand the overall pressures of a 223, not a 5.56. So what you're going to do, it may work a couple of times, but what you're going to do is that you're going to start to damage your barrel, and you never want to have a damaged barrel because it can explode on you. Okay? So that's one of the things with that one. So if you do get a 223, don't shoot a 5.56 round through it consistently. It may take a while. It depends on how well, how well the forging of that barrel was, and what type of steel was used to create that barrel. So because you're going to mess with the harmonics of it. Definitely, and it can't take those pressures over a prolonged way. So I would suggest that you get a 5.56 barrel, and then you can shoot 223 through it no problem, and it will extend the overall barrel life of your weapon. By shooting 5.56 through a 223, you're going to diminish your barrel life, and there's also the risks the risk of it failing, having barrel failure. You don't want barrel failure. Do the 5.56 barrel, and then if you have 223 rounds, you're good. But if you had to shoot 5.56 through a 223 barrel, go ahead and do it if you had to do it. But don't do it if it's not a necessity.
You can still just upgrade the barrel, though, right? If it is a 223
barrel.
Yes,
you can.
Right?
Yeah, you can. Okay. And that's why I'm saying go with the 5.56 barrel over the 223 because you can still shoot 223 through that 5.56 barrel, no problem. It can handle those pressures.
Okay. I guess I asked you the other one offline. It was just about the FN57, but you can go back to Rob.
All right, but I'll come back to that one on the FN57. Really good firearm system, I'll come back to you too. Okay.
All right.
Really good system. The rounds are expensive. And difficult to get. But if you go to AmmoSeek, you can find that 5.7 round. Man, that's a very, very effective firearm. Very, very effective.
The pistol is hard enough to get versus the rounds. I found the rounds to be the easier than actually getting the firearm.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. Thanks, Scotty. You listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And I'm always going to answer some of the questions that the people have because that's so important. Hey, Rob, the FN57 is a real good firearm. It's a real good handgun, really good. But it's an exotic handgun. It's expensive, and the rounds are really, really expensive. And here's the problem with that. God forbid there's some major thing that you got to deal with in this country, such as shortage of ammo. You're not going to be able to find ammunition for that at all. So it's probably better, you know, for a 5.7, the FN5.7, what you want to do is you don't want to make that your primary, your only weapon because of the exclusivity to that weapon, because it's such an exotic weapon. Those rounds are very, very hard to get. So that means that accumulating the price points on accumulating those rounds is going to be far more expensive. I would have that if you have other firearms. Then that's a good one to have as a luxury. And especially that could be mission specific, if you know what I mean. Mission specific, in case, you know, there's some form of threat that you needed to mitigate, then that would be, and you had time to distinguish that. That firearm is definitely something that you want to use because it will compromise body armor. So, yeah, good firearm. One of my favorite ones. Really, really good one, effective one, but it's an exotic one. So just keep that in mind for those that are thinking about getting. If you know about a 5.7, if you know about an FN5.7, then you're not new to the overall firearms world at all. So great question. But Rob, hit me up anyhow. Roz, wanted to go back to you, bro. I cut you off. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, no problem. Matter of fact, can I come back in a second? Because I got to do something real, real quick.
Yeah, do your thing.
All right, cool. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so now what I want to do is that Roz had posted 10 guns that you would want to own. And I would say if this is your first time getting a firearm, you want to get something where the ammunition is readily available. And the most ready available ammunition in the United States is the 9mm, okay? The most ready available ammunition, okay, that you can have, followed by 45, 40. You can always find 38, 357 Magnums. You can always find those, okay? Now, different firearms have different, you know, capabilities, okay? So you want to keep that in assured. Now, I don't like to promote different things, but I'm going to tell you my personal preference for a round, and these rounds are a little expensive, but they're effective. I rather have – this is what you defend yourself with, not practice with, okay? You want to get – and we'll go over the different rounds as well. So, and there's this one company. It's called Underwood. I'm trying to think, should I be talking about this real quick? No, I'm not going to talk about this. All right, so rounds are real, real important, and I already kind of. So if you heard me, you heard me. Nah, shoot, I don't care. There's a company called Underwood Ammunition. Okay, their ammunition is some of the best and most effective ammunition without recoil that you can buy. Great, great rounds.
And rounds are the ones that actually protect you. Okay? So especially for our, for some of the ladies, you can have an effective round that can have a lot of penetration and have a lot of kinetic energy that's deposited, so that you don't have to have a really, really large round that is going to have recoil. So they have some great rounds. They make, to me, this is that they make some of the best rounds on the market. It's going to cost you a little bit, but it's worth it. Because you think about why do you have these rounds? Why do you have a firearm? If you're going to have the firearm, you should have the best ammunition that you could possibly get. One ammunition that you can, that your life will be, that you will depend, that your overall life dependency is on, you'll know that you're doing well. And I don't have a problem saying that this is some of the best ammunition, and you can get it in 45, you get it in 40, you can get it in 9mm, you can get it in 38, you can get it in 357 under their handguns. And I'm going to tell you that 9mm Luger, this is a good round for women, because the overall recoil for their physical stature being not as much, these rounds are very, very effective, okay? A very, 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 very effective, okay? So you can, that's just my plug for there, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah, go ahead, Raj.
Hey, Pete, thank you so much for giving me that that few seconds I needed to handle something real quick. But, yeah, you kind of made me think, too. I remember many years ago, Maya Angelou was on Oprah's show, and she was discussing a night where someone broke into her house. And she said it was, mm-hmm. like 3 in the morning. She heard the poolside door. It was a sliding door, and she heard the door slide open at, like, 3 in the morning. So she said she was already in her bed, and she kept her 38 right next to her bed. So she said, mm-hmm. I stayed in my room. You know, I wasn't going to walk around and bump into him. I was going to wait until he got close enough before I addressed him. So she said she heard him creep up the stairs, and she heard a few, you know, tip-tap steps, and he had was just about to approach her bedroom door. So as she heard those couple of steps, clack, clack, and she said, listen, if you don't want none of this, you'll go right back out the door in which you came from. That's all she said. She was cocked, loaded, ready to roll. She said she heard tip, 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 going the opposite way, traipsed down the stairs. He went out the door, and he was nice of him, too. He slid the door back closed and left. And she said that's what did it for her, just that sound and that warning. And she said, I was only going to tell him once. After that, he was going to get some hot lead in this direction. And he was smart enough to leave, so he didn't have to kill anybody. So, yeah, that's real. And you also made me think, too, because there's going to be a huge ammo shortage. That's what all of this gun, so-called gun reform, is all about. It's about disarming people, so when they really lay the hammer down and people lose their rabid minds, they're not going to have weapons to do anything against, whether it's the government, the military occupying
to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've learned about is, you know, crossbows are really powerful and they're silent, and you can, mm-hmm. retrieve your projectile once you let it loose. So, you know, I have quite a few of those around, and I think that's something for people to keep handy, because you might run out of ammo, you might not be able to get none, but that crossbow ain't going nowhere. You know what I'm saying? You can, and like I said, you can retrieve, your projectile once you shoot it in the whatever direction you shoot it. And I had a couple of questions for you. One,
yeah,
is,
go ahead, brother.
You were talking about the 5.56 and the 223. Now, what, mm-hmm. is the difference between the two bullets that causes the pressure gradient difference when you fire?
Mm-hmm.
That's my first question.
Mm-hmm. It's the overall packing of them. The projectile, the propellant packing.
Makes sense. That's what I figured that, but I just wanted you to kind of voice that, because other people who may not be familiar with weapons will say, well, why is it that they're both the same size, but yet, you know, you're telling Rob and PCU Rob too, you know, you're telling him to make sure he gets the bigger barrel for the pressure. So I thought that was a good question. The other thing too is just break down what a caliber is and how they do the measurements as far as four bullets. When you hear like a 50 cal or a 9 millimeter round, what is it that they're using to calculate the length and circumference of the projectile? Thank you. And I'll mute myself.
Right. Yeah. That the actual the 9 millimeter and the 45. What happens is this: is that the projectile itself is measured. The actual projectile, the bullet. A projectile is once it leaves the barrel. A bullet is what you can hold in your hand or put it inside, okay, of the casing. So they measure that. A 9 millimeter is 9 millimeters. A 45 is 45. Is 45. That's the overall size. That's the overall size and the diameter of the actual projectile itself. Okay, and with that, a bigger bullet is going to, you know, the laws of physics is going to have more kinetic energy, and also is going to have more propellant. The casing is going to be bigger because it has to be able to send that down range, if it's a subsonic round or a supersonic round. Okay. And it once, in order to break the sound barrier, you know, the overall packing and the projectile propellant, the black powder, has to be the appropriate amount. And it's all measured. It's all measured inside of a casing, and then it's all put together and it's crimped. And then there's which is very, very important. When it comes to bullets, if you're going to be a bullet maker, your overall,
it's measured in thousandths of an inch, Brother Dave.
Yeah, no.
Measurement from.
No, not that. Daggone it. It'll come back to me. Because in a bullet, it's a bullet, the casing, the propellant. And then in the back, where the hammer strikes, is the
firing pin.
No, not the firing pin. No, in the bullet is to make the bullet. Mel.
Yes, sir.
It just escapes me real quick. What am I talking about? It just escaped me real quick.
Are you talking about the casing? He was asking about the.
No, not the casing.
How did they come up with the caliber of the bullet itself is measured in either millimeters or thousandths of an inch. Like a 445 would be 450 thousandths of an inch, so almost a half an inch.
Right.
That's what
I'm not talking about that. The casing.
The charger.
Scotty, what's the.
Primer or the cap?
The primer. That's. Thank you, Mel. The primer is very. For those of you that make rounds, getting primers is probably the most important thing, because primers is the first thing that goes out of stock. Primers are key. Thanks, Big Mel. So a 9 millimeter is the European. That's their measurement. And like Mel was saying, there's millimeters and thousands and everything else. Here, there's the 45 and the 40. Okay, so a 45 is going to be bigger. The projectile is going to be much bigger. The casing is going to be bigger. The round is going to be heavier. Okay, now that round, because it's so much heavier, is still going to be slower than a 9 millimeter. Because a 9 millimeter, and that's one of the things with these rounds, you have to know what the capabilities of a round. A 9 millimeter is really, really fast, okay? But you can slow it down. You actually can buy rounds that are subsonic, which means that they'll hit harder with more kinetic energy, but they won't go as far, okay? And this is all called joules. In the shooting world, it's called joules. The overall, and it's the measurement of velocity, kinetic energy, and where it breaks the sound barrier. Sound barrier is the key to a firearm, to a bullet. Okay, the sound barrier is key, and it's all calculated in joules. The ones with higher joules are more effective rounds. They bring more kinetic energy, they go out further, and they break the sound barrier at further distances. So that means they can travel further. And if they travel further at the speed of sound, that means that they're traveling with all of that kinetic energy. That's why, you know, a rifle round is like an arrow. So it will have less drag and be able to pierce through the wind and everything else. It's aerodynamic. That allows it to be able to propel itself even further. So the rounds are critical. All these things have to be taken into account. This is why, for me, I don't use a shotgun for my home protection. I use a high-powered handgun that I can have more precision with and be able to have the ability to move, tactically move, within the space of my house. Because when you talk about your house, you're talking about small spaces.
Brother Dave.
Very, very small spaces. And that shotgun is kind of long. So you got to learn how to, and, you know, to employ that. So that's important. Someone said, Brother Dave, go ahead, brother.
It's 7:47. You only have 13 minutes. You want to go through those. That's why I was saying earlier about you doing a few different episodes, because it's a lot of information to go through. You want to go through those 10 handguns that Rise had brought up, because this is something that you're going to have to go over a few different times on a few different shows.
Yeah, we'll go over those real quick. And what it is the handguns is the top 10 best survival handguns, and they have it broken down, and they were really smart in this. They didn't give you the handguns, they gave you the rounds. And it's 380 auto, a 9mm, a 357 SIG, a 38 special, a 357 Magnum, a 40 Smith & Wesson, a 44 Magnum, a 45 ACP, and a 500 S&W. Okay, now, if you are not your first handgun to learn to shoot, it's probably better to learn the overall fundamentals of shooting with a 9mm than jumping up to a 45 or a 500 and trying to shoot that. That 500 round has a lot of recoil. Has a lot of recoil. And I've been shooting my whole adult life, but I'm going to tell you this. I shoot a 9mm faster and more accurate than I do a 45 because of just the overall physics that go along with it. Okay? There's other handguns, but these are very, very effective, and this is for beginners. You really can use that. I would definitely suggest you can definitely use a 9mm, but just get the right round. And there's different grades of rounds. Okay? There's with 9mm, they'll come in different grades where their overall propellant packing is going to be different. There's some that's 147 grains, meaning that they have 147 propellant grains that's in there. That's the weight of the grains. Then there's 115. 115 will mean it has the same projectile of a 9mm, but it's going to go slower. I mean, it's going to go faster, but it won't have the punch. It's going to have the projectile going faster. That means this. You got to be careful with that, because inside of your homes, depending on your bullet, your rounds could be going through your walls. So with a 9mm in your home, you might not want to use that if you have thin walls, because that can go through your walls. But if you want to use a 9mm, then you have to use the right grain. I would say with a 9mm, the optimum grain for home defense is 158 grains, meaning it's a subsonic projectile. Is not breaking the sound barrier, but is going slower. But when it hits a whole lot harder, more kinetic energy is delivered. So it's a trade-off. Okay? So in today's world, because they make the rounds so well, you don't need a, in my opinion, you don't need a shotgun. The rounds that they make today, just like this the Underwood, you can get a penetrator or a defender 9mm round. The overall penetration that that round has and the capability of that round, you just need to be able to be able to put be on target. The technology with the rounds have caught up to where you don't have to have the big bulky kick and everything else. In today's world, you want to be effective and efficient. And I'm going to tell you why that's so important. Here's why that's so important. Rounds will be just as valuable as gold if the proverbial crap hits the fan, because you can run out of rounds. So rounds are very, very important to this whole paradigm. Is more important, I will tell you this, your round is more important than your delivery system, than your gun. As long as you get, because they make the guns pretty much all pretty much the same now. There's a little deviation, but it's real, real small. Once you pick up your gun and you learn your gun, that's what you're going to be accustomed to and you're going to identify with and you're going to be able to employ, and you will like your gun. Some people like the trigger pull on this. Some people like, you know, the balancing of this, all of that, the ergonomics of everything, how it fits in your hand, all of that is real, real nice and real, real important. But it's the round that stops the threat. It's the round that stops the threat. That's why in today's world, with the technology and the rounds, these rounds allow you to go to something smaller and more efficient, and you can have more of them.
Can I add something?
Very, very, very important. Yeah, go ahead.
Because I know it's a lot of women that listen to Tando also.
Yes.
And you said you said something very important as far as everybody in the house needs to know how to operate the pistol. PT-111. This is a Taurus pistol that one of my favorites. I have pretty good sized hands, but it fits in my hands comfortably, and it also fits in my 16, my 15, my 11, and my 6-year-olds. It fits in all of their hands to where they can control it. This is a 9mm, like you said, excluding the rounds. This is a gun that almost everybody can handle. It's I'm not gonna say it's cheap, but it's under. It's under $320.
Mm-hmm.
Get it in whatever color that you would like, and this will hold you for whatever defense that you need. Something else that, like I said, I told you earlier, you was running out of time, but we also have to understand that the police don't use 9mm no more because of the velocity that the bullets come out, like you were stating, because the velocity it goes through steel. So if you shooting somebody, if you have to shoot somebody, like you said, then it's gonna penetrate that person and maybe the person behind them and possibly the person behind them. So me myself, like I said, I do the staggered thing because that's what I train the people within my house. All of my children, all the way except for my 3-year-old, knows how to shoot a gun, a pistol. I've allowed them to shoot semi-automatic rifles, .22s, and a shotgun. We all know how to do this. I'm one of those people that don't have no gun case because everybody knows where the gun at. And as you know, Dave, I sent you pictures of a few of my daughters, what they did with the ammunition that they had within the gun. These are things that I practice on. I take them to practice. tactical pens, because you don't necessarily have to use a gun either. You know, just standing behind the door and hitting somebody with a tactical pen would disarm them also. This is a broad spectrum, and that's why I was saying once again, this is something that we're going to have to revisit, because me, myself, very, very violent area that I grew up in, and I can't wait to see you and the rest of the listeners whenever you decide when we're going to go down to Dallas. I can't wait to see all of y'all.
You and me both.
But along with that, you know, it's certain things that we have to understand. Some of us grew up in violent areas, like I just stated. Some of us don't. Some people have to be instructed. Some people don't. It's going to be a lot of people that's going to come down there, and they're going to wet a target out. And then it's going to be some people who don't understand what's going on, because I have, out of my five children, one of them can't shoot a gun. She's three. One of my older daughters are afraid of guns. The kick, the damage, all of these type of things, she don't want nothing to do with them. The other three, they love it. You know, it's a stress reliever. It's a stress reliever as well as a defense point. So when we get to these things, you know, you have to understand who, not only the utensils that you're using, but the people who may have to use these things also, because we didn't even get into that. You know, the temperament of yourself and the people that may be using these particular utensils, we have to understand them too, because if they have to use it and they're not comfortable, you could get shot. So,
yep. Very true.
I'm gonna hold the rest of that to later on. I'm gonna let you handle that. But I just wanted to get that out there. The PT-111, man, I'm not plugging them or nothing, but that's one of my favorite pistols. If you have to carry a pistol, it's small. It holds a capacity of 17, I believe. So you have plenty of rounds, and it comes with two clips. Well, it comes with two magazines, rather. Sorry about that. It comes with two magazines.
No, you're good. Or you can add more.
Yes, and you can add more, just like Brother Dave said. But like I said, I'm just like you, Dave. I'm going to use my pistol to get to my rifle. But remember, I don't have no guns. So.
Yeah.
But that's what I would do, though. That's exactly what I would do. But with that being said, thank you for your time, brother.
Man,
great show.
Well said, brother. Well stated. And you're right. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this more often with everybody. We got another caller in queue, Jerry. Didn't mean to rush you. I want to get this other caller before we get out of here. Caller out of Cali. What's going on? What's your name, and what's your question or comment? B.I.B. is not coming on after Tando Radio Show, so we probably can have this next caller. Caller out of 909 area code, did you have a question or comment? Okay, guess not. If you do, real quick, I'm going to... Yeah.
No, man, that was me. I was letting you know about the primer.
About the what?
Primer.
Oh, yeah, the primers. Yeah. I don't know why I just had a, you know, thank you, brother. Thank you, Hunter. You know, it's crazy. You go through these, and it just had to just skip my mind. But primers is key. For those of you that are loaders, you do your own bullets. You make your own rounds and everything else. Primers, because that's the first thing that's going to go out of stock, and you won't be able to get no primer, no bullets. You can make a projectile out of a lot of things. You can't make a primer. Primer is a primer, so your primers are real, real expensive. I mean, real, real critical. Before I close out, I want to close out with a couple of things before we get out of here. But go ahead. Someone said, yeah. Jerry, was that you?
Yes, sir. It was. And I was just wondering, for those of you who
Scotty
don't,
said he's got to go.
Okay. Those of you who don't if you could make bullets, then you, like you said, is good as gold. And I'm done.
Yeah, good as gold. Yep. All right, everyone. So we're going to get ready to get out of here. We'll pick this up later on. Thanks, Scotty. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Brother Braggs, if you be so kind to time us out of here, we'll talk to you soon. Peace. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you later.
Peace, peace, Dave.
Peace, 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 peace.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.